In our last lecture, we talked about God's blessing, giving the blessing of God. Now I want to turn our attention to an entirely different subject. It does relate again to counseling, and that is how to help Christians who are facing suffering. Let me give you a little case study. Imagine Mark comes to see you. He's just buried under a pile of serious problems. He was recently diagnosed with early stages of muscular dystrophy. His job is awful. His brother was just sent to fight in Iraq. If I just knew why all this was happening, maybe I could handle it, he said. But it all seems so pointless. If I just knew why all this was happening. There are not many questions that are any more common than that to a pastor. People will ask, why is this happening? If I just understood why. Well, on the one hand, I don't think knowing why actually helps that much. Job asked why, I think I remember somebody telling me 16 times, and God never answered him. Why isn't really the question. There's no fault in asking, but it's not really going to help you. But we do need to help Christians, in particular, know how to think well about suffering. Because Christians who suffer, for whatever the reason, face it from a different perspective than all other people. I want to look for a few moments at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And wherever you're listening, I hope you will take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians 1. We'll do a little Bible study together. In my classes, I normally do this with lots of interaction, so I'm not sure if I can be as orderly as I'd like when you and I can't visit directly. I wouldn't be surprised if some who listen to this lecture have experienced a kind of persecution or trouble that I never have. And so I want to be respectful of you in that struggle that you might have had. You may know more about suffering than I do. But there's all kinds of suffering. Every pastor faces people who suffer. When Paul began the book of 2 Corinthians, that letter, he tells us that he had gone through terrible suffering, that he had despaired of life, that he had been crushed in spirit. But then he begins this book in this remarkable way. And if you have your Bibles open, you can follow. He says, praise, this is verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he calls him, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. He says, if we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Well, there's more there and in the verses that follow than we have time to study in depth. But let's just look at a few things. First of all, what did you notice about how Paul identifies God? He calls him the God of compassion, the God of all comfort. Paul had learned that firsthand as he had gone through his struggles. God had not ultimately been far away and distant. He'd been the God of all comfort, God of compassion, Compassion is a word that suggests to us tenderness, understanding. The word comfort, which is used, I forget how many times in this passage, many times, is an interesting word. In Greek, parakaleo means to be called alongside. You remember how the Holy Spirit in John, Jesus called him the comforter, the one who comes alongside. Well, that's the same basic word here. The comfort of God is not just a mother's there, it'll be okay. The comfort of God is a coming alongside of us. God comes with us. The comfort is in His presence, not just His words that say, you know, it'll be all right. It's His presence. Now, one of the questions that is difficult in this passage is, well, if I am not being persecuted for my faith, does this apply to me? Where I live, I am not persecuted for my faith. We live with great freedom. So when I read this, does it apply? If someone has cancer, does it apply to them? If they've been sad at the death of someone, does it apply to them? I think it does. I think Paul was thinking of persecution because he certainly had been persecuted. He had suffered a great deal for the gospel in all kinds of ways. But I think Paul's larger idea is that all suffering that Christians endure can enable us to share in the sufferings of Christ. Christ's sufferings were of every sort. In fact, you know that in Hebrews 2:18, it says he suffered when he was tempted. Did you know that? He didn't just suffer on the cross. He suffered when he was tempted. He was suffering in the wilderness when the devil came. He suffered when he was provoked by the Pharisees. All those things were a kind of suffering. And we know those sorts of things. We know the suffering of temptation. I think when Jesus was in the garden, he suffered. He sweat drops of blood. What was the suffering? The struggle of submission to God. The struggle to trust God. He wasn't on the cross. No one was harming him. But he suffered. I think when people come to us carrying heavy burdens, we want to show them how their suffering can be sort of wedded to Jesus, that they can share it with Jesus, and that Jesus shares it with them. It's not that they have suffered the same thing. Jesus didn't have cancer. Jesus never lost a child. But when a believer suffers, the thing that is added, you might say, to our suffering is our devotion that we will bear this in faith and we will be obedient to God. We won't run away. We won't try to hide in other things. We will try to bear this suffering in obedience to God and in faith. That's what Jesus did in Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. So when our friend in the story, Mark, if Mark came to me, I would say, my friend, let's talk about your suffering. I'll tell you why. Because in this, you can share in the sufferings of Christ. You can be like Jesus in saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I ask you to take this cup from me. Take this suffering away from me. And, you know, sometimes God does that, right? But if he doesn't, I will still be loyal to you. I will still be faithful. I will trust you, and I will do my best to obey you, because I am a follower of Jesus. I think that's what Paul did through all his suffering. I think he did bear suffering because he represented Jesus in the world, and he was persecuted for that. But I think that suffering goes beyond that. You remember over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this whole book is about, or much of it is about weakness. He says, you know, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Our bodies are the jars of clay. The treasure is Christ. Why do we have this treasure in jars of clay? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. What does he mean? He says, well, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our body. Now listen, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Did you understand that? In all we do, we carry the dying of Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me. There is a dying to self in all kinds of things in life. If you have cancer, there is a dying to self. If you have to give up your desires for someone else, there's a dying to self. When you are reprimanded and have to change your behavior, there's a dying to self. We carry the death around, that temptation that I suffer to do in order to do what's right. We carry that around with us. And what happens? God meets us when we devote ourselves to bear suffering as Jesus did. When we resolve, I will be like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus meets us there, and we have the fellowship of Christ's sufferings with him. And when we share that fellowship, we are strengthened. We are comforted by his very presence. You may feel comforted or you may not, but you are being comforted. You are with, you're not alone. Remember my story when I was angry with God and I said, where were you? And he said, I was right there with you all the time. It didn't feel like it, but he was.
TVS Seminary is a great way to invest in the kingdom of God. Please consider making a donation to support this effective educational and outreach ministry today. We exist upon your gracious giving. Please donate to support TVS Project's continuation and growth. For more information, visit tvsseminary.com.
Also in 2 Corinthians here is this idea of the resurrection power that we carry in our bodies all the time. Well, resurrection power wouldn't show if we weren't in jars of clay. It's because we're weak. It's because we are broken. Because there's something that dies in us, that the power of Jesus emerges and becomes evident to the people around us. Remember at the end of 2 Corinthians when Paul writes about his thorn in the flesh, he said, in order to keep me from being conceited, because Paul had seen such amazing things, I was given a thorn in the flesh. Where did it come from? It was a messenger from Satan, he says. God permitted it, but it was a messenger from Satan. What was the message, do you think? You're weak. You're not so great. You're nothing. You don't have so much. You can't make this go away. It was a messenger from Satan. He was sent to torment me, and it did. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. You don't need it taken away. I'll give you enough grace to bear this. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So therefore I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. So when Mark comes to talk to me or anyone else, this is one of the uniquely Christian ways we counsel. Look, you're bearing this for Jesus' sake. You don't have to be persecuted for your faith for that to be true. You're bearing this for Jesus' sake. So we say to our friend, I can see in you that you want to obey Jesus. I can see that you want to be strong in him. And I see in you a fellowship with Jesus that you may not always feel, but it is certainly there. He is right there next to you. And your suffering is not in vain. Suffering, that's the terrible thing, is it seems like it's in vain. It's for nothing. It reduces us to nothing. But for the Christian, there is always purpose because we become like Christ in it and we have fellowship with Christ in it. And out of our suffering comes the resurrection of Jesus in our daily life, and ultimately when we die and rise again to be with him forever. So that's a wonderful passage to help people when they struggle. And I don't suppose there's any reason people come to see a pastor more than for help in their suffering.